And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, Alabama, y'all, Alabama. This show goes like, whoa, way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden and parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. All right, we're gonna take a break from politics for a minute. It's been a week full, and rightfully so, because it's a target-rich environment for political speak. But every once in a while, you got to step back and recognize there's other things in life you got to care about. Sometimes it's sports. So in case you did not know, JP, who sits here in the studio with me every day, pushing all the right buttons and adding his commentary, JP is like a sports aficionado. He's a guru. He's a savant of sports. He has his own show on Saturday mornings called Off the Bench on the Ump in Huntsville. You can hear him from 9 to 11. In fact, at this time, I think you've actually got, an interview with Tuberville on your show, right?
Yeah, we will be joined by Coach Tuberville tomorrow to have an interview and discussion about NIL and this new era of college football. Unfortunately, he can't stay around to be our guest picker as well, so probably just be me and Kelsey this week, but I think that's I'm very excited about that interview.
I'm excited for you. Great show, 9 to 11 Saturday mornings. So Fridays we've taken to doing this thing since he knows his stuff. So if you haven't listened to him before, you're gonna be amazed. No notes, he just goes. But we do the first section, we call it three and out, right? And then the second session, we call it the 2-minute warning. Mm-hmm. So the three and out, your top three, what do we got to know? JP, take it away.
Well, I'm sure if you're in the state of Alabama, aware.
Hold on, time out.
What's that?
We did not do your sound effect.
We did it.
We did not. You ready? Hit it. Got the loud applause. Got all of it. JP on sports. Okay, now we're good. Now we can do it.
All right, well,
three and out. Go for it.
If you are in the state of Alabama, especially if you're an Alabama fan, I'm sure you are aware that there's a big game this weekend of Alabama versus LSU. In Death Valley, Alabama with two losses cannot afford any more losses to be in the college football playoff. The first 12-team playoff rankings came out this past week, and Alabama is at number 11. So as of now, Alabama is in the playoffs. So technically, every game from here on out is a play-in game for them. If they can win out, they're going to be in. But it's going to come down to this game, I think, mainly. After the LSU game, I feel pretty confident. They got to play at Oklahoma, but Oklahoma is struggling right now. Then they got to play Mercer, and then the Iron Bowl at home, which I think the Iron Bowl, with it being at home, will probably be Alabama's as of now, probably. But this game at LSU is the one I think is going to be.
So what you're saying is that Auburn has a chance to knock them out of the playoffs.
I'm saying that if they win the LSU game, you know, there's a chance, I guess, a chance, maybe not a great one, but a chance. But yeah, it comes down to this game in Death Valley for Alabama.
Death Valley's hard for anybody to go play in.
I would say it's the hardest place to play in college football, for sure.
Fans are just freaking rude.
Well, their LSU fans are very, very rowdy, and the place is massive, but it's also like right on top of you, like on the field. They're very loud, and they're one of the largest stadiums, and it's like right on top of the field. So it's that combination makes it very hard to play, and it's a night game at Death Valley. So it's going to be very hard for Alabama to go in there with a win. But if they do, I feel pretty good about Alabama's
chances. You got a prediction? You going to lay it out there?
I predict it will be a close game either way. Obviously, my Alabama bias will say Alabama, but I'm very worried about this
game. So you're pragmatic on it.
I'm pragmatic. I'm very worried about this game. With it being at LSU. LSU, this is their game. I mean, this is their rivalry game, too, with it being at home. So
yeah,
won't be easy. But like I said, if Alabama does pull out with a win, I feel pretty good about their playoff chances. So there's
all right, three and out. You got number one. What's two?
Well, then there's another big game in the SEC of Ole Miss playing Georgia. This is another one of those cases with Ole Miss where if they want any chance at the playoffs, they cannot afford to lose this game. And Georgia is sitting at number three right now, the only loss coming to Alabama. I can't remember off the top of my head where the game is at, so I'll check that while breaking the game down for you here. But Georgia's looked better since the Alabama game, and you know they went into Austin and was able to pull off that impressive win, and it is at Ole Miss now that I'm checking. So that's big for it to be at Ole Miss as well. But like I said, Georgia, ever since the Alabama loss, has been on a roll. Carson Beck struggled against Florida last week, so the quarterback situation is a bit rocky for Georgia, but everybody else has been... They picked up the slack and they've been playing very well. But this game being at Ole Miss, you know, Lane Kiffin's offense is always going to be hard to guard. I think they're the second best offense in college football statistically behind Miami. So a very hard offense to defend against if you're Georgia. So I think it's going to come down to Carson Beck ultimately. If he can shake off that rough performance against Florida and be on his game, I think Georgia will have a good chance. But if he's not, and he can't keep up with Ole Miss's high-powered offense, it may be an upset over in Mississippi. So
two big personality coaches too.
Oh yeah, Kiffin versus
Kirby.
Yeah. You know, there was a part of me when Saban retired that really wanted Kiffin to be his replacement. I don't know. I thought it would have been very fun.
It's always amusing. It's second only to Deion Sanders when Lane Kiffin takes the microphone and starts talking.
Yeah. So, you know, it's always going to be entertaining to watch a Lane Kiffin offense, you know, both him on the sidelines and his offense, how they play. So Georgia's got their hands full defensively. But if Carson Beck can play well, I think Georgia should win it. But if he doesn't and can't keep up, like I said, with Ole Miss's offense, that's an interesting game. We could see an upset there.
You know, all right.
I'm not calling it, but I'm saying maybe. There's a possibility there.
There's a maybe.
Yeah, possibility.
All right. Okay, so we'll see where that goes. Three and out. You got two. What's third?
Well, Army is still undefeated.
Army!
Army is still undefeated.
I'm an Army man.
Yes.
I'm an Army man now. I mean, I'm an Auburn fan, but I'm an Army man, yeah. So you know what I'm saying.
So Navy unfortunately dropped their first loss to Notre Dame not too long ago, but Army is still undefeated, and with the first college football rankings, they're ranked 25th right now. They play North Texas this upcoming weekend, but it's fun. It's fun to have a triple option team like Army be really good. I mean, Army and Navy with the triple option offenses were like top 10 offenses in the nation, averaging like 40 points a game, which is like unheard of for me to see an offense like that do that well. But Army is continuing to do well, so we'll see if against North Texas they can keep that going. But with the college football rankings coming out and them still being ranked, I think is a very big deal, because you know when Navy was undefeated, it was the first time Army and Navy were ranked in the same poll since like the 40s or something. Yeah. You know, it's been a long time. So Army is still being undefeated and ranked now, and not only the AP poll but the college football playoff rankings is it's fun. I like it.
So speaking of, do we have any individual players at Army that are looking at a possible career in the NFL, but they've also got to serve out their military tour?
No, not really. I think they just collectively playing at the unit. Yeah, I think they've with the transfer portal and NIL. You know, I'm not sure actually. Now that I say that, I'm not sure if the service academies can offer NIL.
I don't think they can.
But I think the transfer portal helps a lot with that. You know, there's a lot of players who, you know, maybe are very talented that the Army or the Navy, the service academies can pick up for the transfer portal if they can't get them out of high school.
Yeah,
I think that sort of level is the playing field for
that. We need to look into that, because I'm not even sure that they can transfer in like that, because the portal, you have to have an appointment by a congressional member to be able to go to one of the service academies, typically speaking, unless you get picked up like through a green to gold kind of program out of the enlisted ranks. But so I'm not sure if you can portal in or even portal out, because once you're there, you're under contract. So I'm not sure you can.
Service Academy athletes can use the transfer portal to leave the academy. However, military academies typically don't accept transfer students in the same way that civilian schools do. Maybe it's possible, but I guess you have to go through a lot of hoops and ladders there to make it possible.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, I think the new era of college football has benefited Army to be able to compete. And, you know, like I said, there's not really one player that's doing it. I think as a unit, they just, you know, they've been playing really well. But it's funny that Army and Navy are having such great years in the same season.
Yeah, I look forward to the Army-Navy game. What week is that going to be?
The week after.
Rivalry week.
Yeah, so the week after conference championship games will be that one. I still think it's a possibility that we could get back-to-back Army-Navy games if Army and Navy both make the conference championship. I think that's still a possibility as of now. So
Wouldn't that be crazy?
Yeah.
You play, and then you play again.
Yeah. But then what's funny is if you're the playoff committee and then, you know, Army wins one, Navy wins the other. It's like, what do you do? Who do you put in at that point? They're one and one against each other.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned NIL, and since we got a couple of minutes, that's the three and out. What? Give us a prelude real quick for Tuberville's interview. How did it go for those who are going to listen tomorrow morning? Give them a prelim. Kind of a sneak peek.
It went really good. Coach Tuberville is very fired up as a legislator on this. And, you know, he's in a very unique...
On NIL.
Yes, on NIL. He's in a very unique position because he's got skin in the game in the sense of he's been at the top of college football as a coach in the SEC, and now he's in position as a senator to help fix this mess. So it's not like he's somebody, you know, as a congressman that is sort of out of touch. Like, he's been in the game at the top and knows college football. So having him as a voice up there of, you know, somebody who's been in college football and knows the game is huge, and he's very passionate about it. And I really appreciate that. I really appreciate him, using his platform to help fix college football in that sense, because, you know, this, and he even mentions this in the interview of the Democrats, they want a union for college athletes.
Oh,
and
God.
It's like, and Tuberville is like, that's crazy. You know, that's, you know, these are student athletes. So all that to say, it's really nice to have somebody who's been in the game at that level to help influence the decision-making and fix the mess of NIL right now. So I think people will enjoy the interview greatly tomorrow. And make sure to tune in for it.
All right. Outstanding. Three and out there. You're with JP on sports. I think that's round one. We'll come right back. He jumps into the next section. We do it. We call the two-minute warning. He has 2 minutes for each topic to get as much as he can said on it and then move to the next one. We actually keep a timer going. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, JP on sports. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. Hey, coming up top of the hour, don't forget Birdman's calling in. You'd be amazed at the amount of wokeness that is bound up in video games. Well, he's got some insight on that. We're going to talk to him about it. That's a 4 o'clock hour interview with the Birdman. Let's go back now to JP on sports. So this is round two of JP on sports. We break it up into what we call the two-minute warning. So I've got a timer. He's got topics, but he's got 2 minutes to go for each. Sports, two-minute warning. Take it.
Well, college basketball is now underway. Alabama and Auburn both had their opening games this week, where Alabama won 110-54 against UNC Asheville, and then Auburn won 94-43 against Vermont.
Mm-hmm.
So two beatdowns. But like I've said before, I think the two best college basketball teams in the SEC are in the state of Alabama, with Alabama and Auburn. So Alabama, number two right now, the highest preseason ranking in their program history. Auburn also at number 11. So strong opening games for both teams. There's going to be a little, stretch of cupcake games before they get into some good out-of-conference games and then conference
cupcake
games, obviously.
Games.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they are. I mean, it's Vermont and UNC Asheville, no disrespect to them. I doubt we have any UNC Asheville or Vermont fans listening, but
you never know.
But I think, obviously the star of the season is making sure teams kind of get in their groove and figure out, who needs to play where and such. So there's going to be a few of those games. But once we start rolling into some good out-of-conference games and then conference play, I think it'll be very interesting to see how these two teams fare out. And it'd also be really fun if we get an Alabama-Auburn game, the first matchup, 1-2 in the SEC, or both tied at 1 in the SEC. That would be fun, because the Iron Bowl in football obviously gets a lot of attention in the state, but I think it's fun for basketball too to be, the top two teams. It'd be a fun game to watch. And football fans, when the football season's over, they get two Iron Bowl matchups on the court that are two great teams too. So I think that's very fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And so March Madness is still a long ways away, but you feel like we could see Auburn, Alabama take it all the way to the house.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Alabama, some people are saying roster-wise, just names, probably one of the best rosters in the country. And Auburn, too, has Jani Broome returning. And so they have a lot of experienced guys coming back. So Auburn's going to be very good as well.
2 minutes, you hit it. All right, right on the dot. Let's go ahead and reset the clock. 2 minute warning, sports, take it.
Well, I mentioned earlier, talking college football, the first 12-team playoff rankings came out. They the first half of the season, or a little bit more than half of the season, is the AP poll. And then we eventually start getting to the point where the College Football Playoff Committee starts to release their rankings. And then those are the rankings that will determine who gets into the playoffs eventually at the end of the year. So this past week, we had the first College Football Playoff Committee rankings. And they often, you know, they're often pretty different from the AP poll. They do it in a very different way, obviously. Instead of just journalists, you know, making the rankings, the College Football Playoff Committee has, you know, ADs, former ADs, you know, guys who are more tied into the game itself do their rankings and rank it based off who they think's the best, you know, eye test wise. So we saw a bit of shifting around. Ohio State was number two in this one, where they were number three, I believe, in the AP poll. Georgia's at number three. Oregon, obviously, still at number one. But like I said earlier, talking about Alabama slid into the playoffs in this one. They were 13th, I believe, still in the AP poll, so just outside of the bubble. But they are now in the playoffs in the playoff committee ranking as of now. So like I said, if they every game's a play-in game for them. But yeah, so now we're going to be at a point where we now see a playoff picture before us, you know. With AP poll, we kind of just speculated, but now that we see where the playing field kind of is, you know, teams have a better gauge of where they're at, if, you know, they're on the bubble or they're in as of now. So I like that. I like to see the playoff committee rankings when they start to come out. I think they're a better representation overall. So.
All right, you made it in under the 2 minutes. All right, let me reset the clock. Next topic, 2 minutes, go.
This is a funny story, so I thought I'd talk about this one. So Indiana right now is having an undefeated season. I don't have the exact list in front of me, but it's the first time they've had an undefeated season in a long, long time. The Hoosiers are not really known for football, but they have this new coach in there who actually is a part of the Saban tree of coaches, and so they're having a great year. But with the election that happened earlier this week, he actually got 500 votes in Indiana to be the president of the United States. So Kurt Cignetti, who is leading the Hoosiers to their first undefeated season in a long time, has won the hearts of the Hoosier fans so much that they want him as president.
So 500 of them wrote him in.
500 people wrote him in to be president of the United States. So I'm very interested to see if Jeff from Indiana has any input on that. You know, if him being from the area, how much they love this new coach. But yeah, he's making Indiana football great again. So there's that.
And did you say Saban tree?
He's part of the Saban tree.
I've never heard of the Saban tree. I mean, I know what you mean.
But. Yeah, the coaching tree. So he was under Saban. I don't know his exact position, but he was a coach under Saban at Alabama at one point. And it's funny, he has a famous clip of when he did his press conference for when they introduced him as coach. He said, as part one of his little clips, he was like, "I win. Google me." He has a great record of where he's at of undefeated teams. So, but yeah, I thought that was really funny that 500 people in Indiana thought that he was worthy to be president of the
awesome.
United States.
Awesome. You made it in barely under the wire again on the 2 minutes. So 2 minute warning, you got time for one more. I think you do. Go for it.
Yeah, I can come up with one here. I mean, this is a little bit of a sad one, but I don't know if many people have paid attention. If you're a big college football fan, you've seen Kirk Herbstreit with his dog everywhere. You know, he brings his dog to every game he goes to. He's become like a celebrity, like an icon in college football world, Ben the Golden Retriever. But unfortunately, that Herbstreit posted that he had to put his dog down this past week. So the college football world is sad this week. And remembering Ben's memory. There's been a lot of posts of funny videos of Ben and Herbstreit posting a lot of videos of Ben as a puppy to remember him. But yeah, he's become a celebrity this year, so it's been really sad to see him go. But rip Ben.
Well, yeah, that's never good. Worst experience of my life just about was losing ours. All right, you did it. You got in. Yeah. You got in one of them on the buzzer, and the others you got in just under the buzzer. 2 minute warning. JP on sports, as always, man. Good job. You can hear him every Saturday morning on the Ump out of Huntsville, 9 to 11. He and Kelsey do Off the Bench talking sports, and tomorrow they got an interview with coach/senator Tommy Tuberville. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, coming up next. Going to talk to Birdman and do some woke stuff. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back.